morning. Reading this morning comes from the New Testament, reading from John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 1 through to 17. You'll find that on page 1065 of the Pew Bible. Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are the teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born again when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are an Israeli teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things. Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe me. How then will you follow if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." God has his blessing to you in his holy word.
May the words of my mouth, the meditation and reflection of all of our hearts be pleasing in God's sight, the one who is our rock and our redeemer. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I wonder how many of you remember learning that as a memory verse in Sunday school, or in school even, because that was part of school many years ago as well. Or how many times you've walked past a church and the notice board in the church has a poster and it's had that verse in it, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." What does all this mean? What does it mean in your life and in my life right now? I wonder how many of you are using the Lent books that we gave out a couple of weeks ago, which I happen to think are brilliant. And it takes just a few moments every day to pause and to read and to think and to reflect. What is this faith that we say we are part of? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For the most part, Jesus was surrounded by very ordinary people, and you've no doubt heard many, many sermons about his first followers being ordinary fishermen. But today's reading from Scripture is different, because the encounter that he has with Nicodemus is with a man who is from the aristocracy of the city of Jerusalem. What do I mean when I say that he's from the aristocracy? Well, firstly, Nicodemus must have been wealthy. Now, how do we know this? Well, we know this because in John chapter 19, it tells us that when Jesus died, he bought a mixture of myrrh and aloes weighing about 100 pounds to be used to anoint the dead body of Jesus. Nicodemus was wealthy. We also know that he was a Pharisee. And sometimes we think of them as the teachers of the law, those who oversaw the teaching of the Jewish law. Now, there were never more than 6,000 Pharisees at one time. So he was part of a very chosen group of people. Also, we know about him that he was a member of the Sanhedrin, which was the Jewish ruling council. And isn't it interesting that this man of great stature and wealth, Scripture tells us he came to Jesus at night. Wonder why he did that. Was it because he didn't want other people to see him coming to Jesus? Was it because he didn't want to associate with the kind of people that Jesus tended to associate with during the day? We don't know. But what we do know is that encounter that Nicodemus had that night with Jesus would mean that his life was never quite the same again. Christ speaks to Nicodemus about being born again, and a clearer translation of that is about being born anew. Jesus was offering Nicodemus a whole new way of living and being. Wonder if anyone's ever said to you, so are you one of these born again Christian types? There is no other kind of Christian than one who is born anew. Because that is what it is all about. It is about a renewal within us, where our lives are turned round to face God's way rather than our own way. So there's no other type of Christian than one who is born anew in God. One of the commentators writing about this passage says this: what Jesus was offering Nicodemus was not a tune-up, a few minor tweaks to an already nearly perfect life. No, Jesus was offering Nicodemus a brand new life, a new beginning, a new birth, a fresh start. What newborn baby enters the world without burst pangs, without shock, without pain? Downright bewilderment isn't the exception in a birth story, it's the rule. And this is really interesting. She goes on to say, if we don't find Christianity at least a little bit confusing, then perhaps it's not Christianity we're practicing. What's she talking about there? I think it's this. What makes us Christian is not because we call ourselves Christian. It's not because our name is on the roll of Cape Park Parish Church. And I would even go as far as saying it's not because we've been baptized. What makes us Christian is that sense within us that day and daily we are born anew to live for God through Christ. That daily we make the choice to live this way. And in doing that, we see the world and everything in the world differently. Another commentator talking about this passage talks about the word believe, and she relates it to the German word belieben. And in Germany, that word means love. beliefs that leads us to hold a particular opinion. But rather, it is about love. To believe is to love and to treasure. To believe is to love and hold something dear. To believe is to love and invest your life in what you love. What does it mean for you and me to believe in Jesus? What does it mean to hold on to Jesus? What does it mean to trust him with our lives? For Nicodemus, it meant starting anew. Rather than relying on all the things that he thought he knew about the Jewish law and the Jewish way of life, Jesus was saying, no, you need to start afresh with me. And no wonder Nicodemus was baffled that night, because it's a big thing to think about, thinking about starting our lives afresh with Christ. I met with a colleague in ministry this week. We sat and we talked together about our life as pastors and ministers. We talked about people in our congregation. We don't use our names, yeah. But we talk about situations. And we shared together the joy and the burden of this life of faith. And one of the things that we were sharing together, we were saying, what is it that our people really believe? When we stand up and we talk and we preach Sunday by Sunday, what is it that you really believe? What is it about all of this that matters to you? What for you does it mean to love Jesus and to follow Jesus? How does that shape your life and your experience and all that you are and all that you hope to be? Nicodemus was never the same after that encounter with Jesus Christ. He was part of the ruling Jewish body who wanted to put Christ to death, and yet we find him there with the spices that were needed to anoint the dead body of Christ. Something radical happened in that man's life. He was changed by meeting Christ. And so the question that I need to ask myself, and I think there was a question in the Light book about this week, what about me? What does knowing Jesus do in my life? How does it affect the way I think? What about prayer? Do we pray? And how does knowing and loving Jesus change the way you're praying? And change the way when you're hurting and in a difficult place that you find your help and your support? That night in a dark room, Nicodemus met the man who forever would change his destiny. When was the last time you came to Jesus in the light or indeed in the dark? When was the last time I came to Jesus and honestly opened my heart before him to share what was on my heart and to hear what he might say to me? If I were to sit down now with Jesus, what would I say to him? Would I be honest with him and tell him what I was really thinking? Or would I try and pretend, knowing all the while that he knows me better than I know myself? What about you? If we had a moment right now and we were able to sit there and say something to Jesus, what would you say? What would you ask? And what would Jesus say back to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes, and remember, believing is that thing about loving, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn you, but to save you. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn me, but to save me. Nicodemus was the man who came to Jesus by night. Will you and I be the men and women who come to Jesus? Let us be. Lord, this life of faith is not about a set of rules to follow, about a basis of faith that we can assent to, about our name on a church roll. It is much more precious than that. It is about the truth that we are loved and cherished by you, and that you in turn long for us to love and cherish you and one another. And for a moment, we pause to think of our own relationship with Jesus. What would we say to Jesus right now? And then, knowing all we know of Jesus, what do we hear him saying back to us? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.